ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأصدق الهدي وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made it possible for us to sit today to continue to read our book الشمائل المحمدية by Imam al-Tirmidhi رحمه الله Abu Isa ibn Isa. Today inshallah we'll go to the third bab. باب ما جاء في شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The chapter regarding what has been reported about the hairs of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Sometimes you will see they say شعر. They are said شعر. They are the same thing. The ainun can have a sukun. It has a sukun such that you say شعر, then it will have a ta'u marbuta. It will be شعر. But if it does not have that star marbuta, that ayin must have a fatha, so that it is sha'ar. So what they both mean the same. So you say ma ja'a fi sha'ar or sha'ara. So ma ja'a fi sha'ari Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What has been reported regarding the hairs of the Rasulullah. From the benefits again of that tabligh is that it means because he said ma, all of what has been reported about that matter. He is just saying what has been reported. That thing that has been reported may now be authentic, they may also be inauthentic. They may be sahih, they may also be da'if. Because he's saying ma ja'a, what has come, what has been reported regarding the Prophet's hair, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you have this copy, the Mukhtasar of Sheikh Al-Albani, which is the basic copy we are using, we are on Hadith 21. But if you are upon the rest of the editions, you are on Hadith 23. The fourth Hadith on that bab is the Hadith of خادم الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام حديث أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قد كان شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إلى نصف أذنيه. قد كان شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إلى نصف أذنيه. Anas ibn Malik said radiallahu anhu. So don't be surprised that he's not saying call a Rasulullah, because he is describing the Prophet alayhi salam. The sunnah to see to when you are in a gathering of learning is to face the person talking to you, not to fight him or back him. That was why when Jibreel sat alayhi salatu wasalam fa asnada rukubatayhi ila rukubatayhi ila ma say asnada rukubatayhi ila rukubatayhi, so that he fixed him alayhi salatu wasalam. The people who are allowed to lean are those who are above 60, and that is because of the frailty of their bones, of their bodies. These issues people don't usually say in their majalis, in their halqat. And because of these things, sometimes Allah removes barakat from something people do. as simple as it is, as it appears. When you do it, you just do what you are doing, but you are not doing what you are supposed to gain from it, because you didn't do it as you are supposed to do it. At the end of that hadith, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. It means that sitting itself is part of the deen. If you don't sit like that, you have not done deen. All of what Jibreel did in that hadith is deen. أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. So we are on either to take that deen or to reject the deen, or to take a part of it and reject a part of it. أَحْلَاهُمْ أَمُرْ. The sweetest of them is bitter. If we take all, if we take a little and leave a little, we get the simple question Allah asked us in the Quran. After being able to divide the people, we are not. So that's also a problem, taking part and leaving a part. That's why I said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dukhulu fis-silmi kafatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. One day I read this verse. A little young boy asked me, that does it mean that because Allah said udkhulu fis-silmi kafatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan, does it mean each time any person is not in dukhul fil-islami kafatan, he is following khutuwati shaytan? I said yes. That is what this verse means. Each time we are away from haq, وَمَا لَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ, except it's not, there is no alternative to it. So when we know these things, because these things will impact on us, it will impact on what we are doing, and then Allah's blessings on us. So let's take them seriously. Many people don't say things like this, but we will say it, inshallah. We beg Allah to forgive each and every one. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, كان شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إلى بس أذنيه. The hairs of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is half of, it comes down إلى بس أذنيه. It comes to half of his ears, that is around his ears. In the نسخة شيخ الألباني, if you look at it, it says كان شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إلى نس. It said the hair of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم drops to around his ears, earlobes, شحمة أذنيه, as it's reported in other riwayat. I think we came across one of those ahadith. That كان شعره على شحمة أذنيه. His hairs come down to the شحمة, the lobes of his ears, his earlobes around it. But he said وفي طريق أخرى, in another riwaya, it says what? إلى أنصافي. That is around the cross on the face. He didn't use this again, because أنصاف is a jam of this. So it makes us understand that what it talks about is around the ears of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the hairs of an Arab or any person is around his ears, it flows behind him and it's around his ears, it is called al-wafrat, around his ears. When it descends from around the earlobes, it descends below, down, it is called what? Al-Mimmat. We discussed this. He said in the hadith, مَا رَأَيْتُ ذَا لِمَّةٍ مَا رَأَيْتُ ذِي لِمَّةٍ مِنْ أَحْسَنُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. If I get that hadith correct. It's also in the Shama'il. We read the hadith. So, that is called Al-Mimmat. But when it drops down further and it touches his shoulder, that is called what? Jumma. So three types. Al-Wafatu, that is when the hair is around the earlobes. Al-Limma, when the hair drops below the earlobes. Al-Jumma, when the hair drops below that and touches the shoulders. The thing is reported of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the ulama say sometimes he left it up around the ears, sometimes he made it to drop below that, and at some other times it dropped further below that. So he kept his hair like that in any of the situations. عليه الصلاة والسلام. I hope this hadith is clear. كان شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى نصفه وفي رواية إلى أنصاف أذنيه. The hair of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم are around or were kept around his ears. That is talking about what? Al-Waqqa. So this describes what Waqqa. Don't forget, in the first bab we read some ahadith that said it. He left it at what? Jummah. Jummah is what? When he touches his shoulders. And in some other ahadith, we read that his hairs will be what? Is what? Zilummah. So he's alayhi salatu wasalam. Between the ear nodes and the shoulder. These three things. Al-Waqfa to, Wal-Yumma to, Wal-Jummah. The next hadith is the hadith of Umm al-Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha. Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Just like Anas ibn Malik, Aisha does not need our introduction. We know her. At least she's our mother radiallahu anha. From the best of people beloved to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amr ibn al-As went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, man ahabbu al-nas ilayk? Who is the most beloved of people to you? Said Aisha. So he said, Wamina Rijal, he said, Abuha. What about from amongst the men, her father? And many of the companions knew this. So the time that they were bring gifts to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on the days that the Prophet was going to be in the house of Aisha. So when the Prophet is in the house of Aisha, they bring gifts. Because they knew then he was happier. And that was why when he felt ill in his terminal illness, alayhi salatu wasalam, he sought to be taken to the house or to the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha. So she's Ummun min Ummahatil Mu'minin. She's one of the mothers of the believers. So she's the one who reported this hadith radiallahu anha. She said, Kuntu anqasasilu ana wa rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps you may see wa rasulullahi in your own. Have you seen anything like that? Did you see wa rasulullahi? Rasulu ala rasul. But it is also permissible ala nafs. So it will be what they say, it is what maf'ulun ma'af. So if it is like this, it is at marfu'un lissab'iyah. So, going to Agatopsilu Anna, very nice for those who are really interested in stuff like this. Else, basically, it is not my own dislook. Going to Agatopsilu Anna wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam min ina'in wahid. Wa kana lahu sha'un fawq al-jumma wa duna al-wafa. She said, radiallahu anha, كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من إناء واحد وكان له شعر فوق الجمة ودون الوفا. She said رضي الله عنها, كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I used to take my bath with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, myself and the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Min ina'in wahidin, from a single bowl. Wa kana lahu sha'run fawq al-jumma, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had a hair, or his hair is like this. It is fawq al-jumma, it is above the jumma. You know, the jumma touches the shoulder. So if it is ma fawq al-jumma, it is above the shoulder. Wadun al-wafra, and lower than the wafra. So what is that? Jumma. So it is sha'arun fawq al-jumma wadun al-wafra. Wa hiya madha al-limma. So that was what she described alayhi salatu wasalam. So on that day that she had that bath with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the way his hair were. So sometimes he left it that it came down up to his shoulders, and that is what is jumba. So sometimes also he trimmed it up to the earlobes, and that is what alwa. So alwa for two, wal limma, wal jumba. But there are other issues of fiqh in this hadith. She said, radiallahu anha, kuntu al-qatilu ana wa rasulullah. She used to take her bath with the Prophet Muhammad. It could mean that, because she said min ila in wahid, it could mean that she used to take the bath with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet would take his bath, and then from the same bowl, she will take her bath. It could mean that, that they were not bathing together. He said, I used to take my bath with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this. I used to take my bath, myself and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from a single bowl. It may mean that the Prophet will take his bath in that bowl and she will take her bath in that bowl. It could also mean that they took their bath together in the same bowl. And this is the meaning of this hadith. Because there are other narrations wherein she said, radiallahu anha, that she used to tell him, leave some water for me, that he used the water and he, their hands would meet in the bowl. And the Prophet would use the water quickly, so she would be telling him, leave some water for me, leave some water for me. So that she said their hands would touch themselves while they took their bath was evidence that they took their bath together. So this is evidence that a man, it is from the sunnah to take his bath with his wife. In fact, one of the past predecessors, if I have not forgotten, asked al-Imam Aqar ibn Abi Rabah. And that forms the sabab wurud of this hadith. Somebody asked Aqar ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah, that is it permissible for a man to look at the private organs of his wife? You know, Jama'at al-Tabligh, because they depend on weak narrations, they usually have weak positions about issues. I don't know this opinion with any other group of people except them. That is why I'm mentioning them. Even when I don't like what they are upon, and that could make me at any point in time when I find the opportunity to mention anything that is wrong upon which they are. In fact, more so in these days that people mistake them for the A'imma of Sunnah. So people need to be told that no, these people are not upon the Sunnah. Rightly. Because he said, Taqullah haqqa tuqatih. People say, no, they have taqwa. It is not sufficient. It should be in the right manner that taqwa should be had. Someone went into the sun and said that he was fasting upon the condition that he will be in the sun. The Prophet said, come, go out of the sun. He was doing that thinking he was saying Allah. Say, no, Allah, go away from the sun. Yuridu Allah bikum al-yusra, yuridu bikum al-usra. So if one fears Allah, we should, and we must fear Allah rightly. That's why he said, Taqullah haqqa tuqatih. So if you say, Jama'at al-Tabligh fear Allah, I say, it may be true, but it is not haqqa tuqatih. Because you can't fear Allah haqqa tuqatih when you depend upon what Allah and His Messenger have not said, thinking that they have said it. In fact, I will read a verse to you. I will say that Dalla sa'ayukum fil hayati dunya. Yeah. Because they are thinking that what they are upon is right, but it is wrong. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. It's not. Somebody doing something thinking that he is right, but he is wrong. Many people first fell into this in the history of Islam. Many. That they are doing something wrong, but they thought that what they did was right. I remember that in the meeting when the people, those who were left us from the Khawarij after the Ghazwa of Nahrawan, when they met to kill Ali radiallahu anhu, what they said was that they want to kill Ali for the sake of Allah. Yes, but it was wrong. We thought we were doing it for the sake of Allah. How many people have done something? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman, Abu Abdurrahman, what did he say? It is coming within the khair land of look. How many times a man intends that he wants to do something good, but he has not attained it? His intention is good, but he is doing something wrong. That does not say that the action is correct. إنما الأعمال بس عند إنما الأعمال دي الأعمال الأعمال الصالحة المقبولة الصحيحة إشيلات سيدات هنا ما الأعمال بالنيات الأعمال ذات الدنيات الأعمال الصالحة ذات الدنيات إيمان does not give you a thing that is making دعوة لا the أعمال must be correct the نية must be correct that's why you start saying إنما الأعمال بالنيات but when the action is wrong you can't write it I mean you can't cause it to be right by merely saying you have good intention so the Jama'at of Tabligh have that opinion that if a man looks and acts there's actually a fabricated hadith it's mentioned in Sufilat hadith in Da'if al-Mawdu'a that if a man looks at the private organs of his wife he causes blindness he heard this hadith it's in Adam al-Zifaf too Sheikh al-Albani mentioned it that if a man sees the private organs of his wife it causes him to be blind something it causes him to forget something a lot today it's a lie because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to see the private organs of his wife what is the evidence this hadith that he will take his bath together with his wife and then he told the companion who came to him alayhi salatu wasalam this hadith if I'm not forgetting it's in Sunan Abi Dawud it's in Sunan Abi Dawud I'm not forgetting it's in Sunan Abi Dawud and it's authentic the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned it in his book on the niqab of the Muslim hijab al-mar'at al-Muslim the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam he said احفظ عورتك إلا ممن من زوجتك أو ما ملكت يمينك he said احفظ عورتك preserve your aura except from who your wife or your slave woman so that's evidence that your wife and your slave woman have a right to see your private woman احفظ عورتك preserve your private organs except from your wife and your concubines that is your slaves and your right hands to her so this hadith also that we have read today that she took her bath with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one of the evidences that a man could actually see and touch the private organs of his wife. So I think the hadith is clear. The mahal shahid in that hadith is that if she said radiallahu anha wa kana lahu sha'run fawq al-jummati wa duna al-wafwa and the Prophet had a kind of hair that was above, that is below, it's not as long as the jumma but it is longer than wafra so it is what? Long the next hadith for us the rest of us is hadith 25 cool? But that hadith is a repeated hadith and from the shuruq of Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah in this book Mukhtasar is that if a hadith is repeated he will not repeat it because it is Mukhtasar but if it is repeated but it has a wording, a love that is not contained in the first one he brought that love at the beginning like this when he said rahimahullah he had wafi tariq al-ukhra ansaf if you look at yours you will see that there is a word that has ansaf is it? Is it? Yes أن شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إلى أنصاف أذنيه That is from your own copy, Hadith 28 So that's why we will not read that Hadith 28 Because in the first one it said نصف أذنيه In the second one it is what? أنصاف أذنيه So that's why Sheikh al-Albani said وفي طريق أخرى إلى أنصاف أذنيه So from the conditions of his ikhtisar is that of his summarizing the book is that he does not repeat a hadith that had already been mentioned by the author in the book. So we will not read hadith 25 as is in our own copy of Shama'il. And the next hadith also is also a repeated hadith. But perhaps we can read it and just move along. He said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَرْضُوعًا He made me not marbu, ليس بطويل ولا قصير. He said, Bu'aid ma bayna al-mankibayn. Bu'aid ma bayna al-mankibayn. He brought justice. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Wa kanat jummatuhu tadribu shahmata uhunayhi. And his jumma touches what? Tadribu shahmata uhunayhi. It moves across. It goes across. Dab here, you not say it's stop there. It passes through it. Of course, there is no way the hair of a man will touch his shoulder that will not brush through his two ears. The next hadith is hadith 26, also of Anas ibn Malik. The first one read is from Bara ibn Azib, but this one is from Anas ibn Malik. It's also repeated, but we just recreate it, inshallah. لَمْ يَكُمْ بِالْجَعْدِ وَلَا بِالسَّمْتِ. That his hair, لَمْ يَكُمْ بِالْجَعْدِ, it's not scaly, وَلَا بِالسَّمْتِ, and it is not free-flowing, it is in between the two. You remember we mentioned this hadith. It is كَانَ يَبْلُغُ شَعْرُهُ شَحْمَةَ أُذْنَيْهِ. His hair used to touch the lobes of his ears. So it could touch it at what? As wafra, it could also touch it as what? Limma, and it could also touch it as what? Jumma. The next hadith is hadith 27. And that is a tremendous hadith, the hadith of Ummu Hani, radiallahu anha. But from those of us reading from the Nuska of Sheikh al-Albani, that hadith is hadith 23. It said that Ummu Hani bin to Abi Talib, we know Ummu Hani, in fact by her name bin to Abi Talib, we know that she is the sister of Shakik. She is the sister Shakika of who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. And she is the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Abu Talib is the brother of the Prophet's father Abdullah. So they are cousins with Ummu Hani, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Ummu Hani is the one who reported this hadith. She had a husband because she became a Muslim during Fathu Makkah. Her husband Hubayra ran away instead of accepting Islam. He ran to Dimashq. And Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah said that it is not known that he ever accepted Islam. The husband of Ummu Hani ran away. And when the Prophet came alayhi salatu wasalam, on that day, she came to the Prophet's house, Ummu Hani bin Abi Talib, the sister of Ali ibn Abi Talib. She came to the Prophet's house. You connect this hadith with another hadith now. She came to the Prophet's house while the Prophet was taking his bath. And Fatima radiallahu anha was the one holding a cloth to cover the Prophet Muhammad from the bath. Because he loves her alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Some people are so far from their children. Yes, their children never come near them. But his own daughter radiallahu anha was covering him while he was taking his bath with a cloth. So somebody was passing by. The Prophet was asking, when has he? He said, Ummu Hani bin to Abi Talib. He said, this Ummu Hani bin to Abi Talib. So it was this incident, because after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam took that bath, he went to her apartment and performed 8 rakats of nafil as Salatul Duha. That's one of the evidences that Salatul Duha could be 8 rakats. And the hadith is attention. If I'm not forgetting, it's reported by Imam Bukhari. So he went into her apartment and performed 8 rakats after that bath that he took. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama had a lot of fiqh they draw from this hadith of Ummu Hani. The hadith is also in Adab al-Mufrad of Imam al-Bukhari. It's one of the evidences that proves that a woman can say taslim to a man. Because she said fasallam to alayhi. She was the one who said taslim to the Prophet Muhammad. But they say in the Amn al-Fitna, if you think doing so does not bring a problem. Because dar ul-mafatid muqaddamun ala jalb al-masalih. So put away harm. If you know doing something will bring harm, not to do it is better than doing that thing and bringing that harm. So she said she made the claim to the Prophet. But it is basically permissible. Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah gave an extensive discussion in Adab al-Mufrad on the permissibility of a woman saying to sleep to a man, or a man saying to sleep to a woman, saying as-salamu alayhi. She said as-salamu to alayhi. So she made the claim to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was on this incident that this hadith occurred. She said, radiallahu anha, قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَكَّةَ قَدْ مَتَمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ came in one of his visits to Mecca. Because, you know, he visited Mecca about 4 times before he died, alayhi sallam, after Hijrah. Ulama say he didn't visit more than 4 times, alayhi salatu wasalam. So in one of those visits, and they said it was a visit of what? Fathu Makkah. Because that was when Ummu Hani accepted Islam. And that was when she was able to say, as-salam to alayhi, she made the slain to the Prophet Muhammad. Some other things happened around that, but I would not like to mention it. Not today, some other time, inshallah. Between the Prophet Muhammad and Ummu Hani radiallahu anha. So she said, قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَكَّةَ قَدْمَةً. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of those visits came to Mecca. وَلَهُ أَرْبَعُ غَدَائِرٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ بَطَائِرٍ. You will not see this وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ in your own. But if you look at the last hadith, hadith 30, you'll see this wafi riwayat in Bafa'ir. The same is now, hadith 30. But in the first one, it mentioned what? Ghada'ir. That's the plural of the word, ghadira. So, in another riwayat, it mentioned Bafa'ir. So that's the evidence that Bafa'ir and Ghada'ir, they mean what? They mean the same thing. So what does that mean? She said, Wallahu arba'u wada'ir. The Prophet had 4 strands of plaited hair. Yeah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Do you know why I said ayyuha? It doesn't look particularly. He plaited his hair into 4 strands. The hadith is authentic. We are reading Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. Of an Imam al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam plaited his hair. So, after that bath that he took, Aisha radiallahu anha was telling us that his hair were فوق الجمة ودين الوفا. After that, he plaited his hair. And it was into 4. All his hair. That is his jumma. What did he place? His limma into 4. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam plaited his hair. He does not have a will that he can give to it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So the ulama say, rahimahumullah, al-Imam Ibn Hajar al-Haytham, he said, rahimahullah, he said, wafihi, in this hadith contains shallu dhafri sha'r. This hadith contains shallu dhafri sha'r, the permissibility to plait hair. He said hatta lirijal. The ruling also includes men. Wa laysa mimma yaqtasu bin-nisa. It is not from those issues that are specifically for women. And Imam al-Haytami said it too, not me. And the hadith is authentic. He said, وَلَيْسَ مِمَّا يَخْتَصُ بِالنِّسَى. To clean the hairs is not things, something that is restricted to women. He said, إِلَّا بِإِعْتِبَارِ. Except when we consider ma itida fi aksar al-bilad, what people became accustomed to in many lands, fi hadhihi al-azminati al-mutaakhira, in these recent times, people became, you know, used to not plating. In these days, people don't play today. If they are from the Quran. He says, وَلَا اِعْتِبَارَ بِذَلِكِ. And there is no evidence in that. The fact that people are not doing it these days. Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, he lived around the 8th century of Islam. 8th century of Islam. We are in the 14th century now. 600 years ago, he said it. So don't see how Malan came yesterday and started saying that it's permissible for us. Ibn Hani has reported it. It's even more than Ibn Hajar al-Haytham. She said she saw the Prophet, unless you want to say she was lying. And if you say she is lying, you are saying her companion is lying. She's even describing the Prophet, that I saw the Prophet. Alayhi salatu wa salam. So you must be careful about what you conceive of these. Just know that that is from our deen. Ibn Hajar al-Haytham said, وَفِيهِ حِلُّ بَفْرِ الشَّعَرِ حتى للرجال وليس مما يختص بالنساء إلا باعتبار ما أتيب في أكثر البلاد في هذه الأزمنة المتأخرة ولا اعتبار بذلك. He said that in his book أشرف الوسائل إلى فهم الشمائل. You can see it there on page 97. Imam Mullah Ali Qari, you have heard Mullah Ali Qari, one of the Imam from Bilad al-Hind, is from the greatest scholars of hadith that ever came from the Indian subcontinent. He has a sharh of Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya also, that is titled Jam'ul Wasa'il fi Sharh al-Shama'il. Jam'ul Wasa'il في شرح الشمائل is in two volumes. In the fourth volume, page 78, he quoted this statement from Ibn Hajar al-Haytham and affirms that the statement is true and then said something. This is what ulama refer to as what naqalahu wa aqarrahu. He quoted it and affirmed it. Sometimes they will not say they affirm it, but when they quote it and then they do repeat it, it means they are also making what iqrar, even when this iqrar is of a lesser status than the one that they clearly state that they are making iqrar of. So Mullah Ali Qari in his Jam'ul Wasa'il, Sharh al-Shama'il, he said after quoting the statement of Ibn Hajar al-Haytham, he said, Akun. I am saying that is Mullah Ali Qari, rahimahullah. He said, "Adatu Sadat, the way of behavior of eminent people, proud people. When you say Sadat, the way of behavior of eminent people, noble people in society, fi bad in Buldan, in some cities or in some of the cities, Aydan, Hiya Dafr." Is also this buffer. That is the way some of the eminent people in some of the cities were also upon placing their hair. It says, Latin, Allah, it is not clear to me. But what he said, I read the book. What he said is that they usually put it, what he appeared in the religion. Something is there that I didn't see properly. But I read it properly, but I can't read it properly here. Perhaps the way I was writing. I was lying down to write this, to write whatever I wrote. I never thought I could come out today. I was very ill. Very ill. Allah. So I just tried to see that I came out for the class. Someone is a Shafakila. I was Shafakila. I didn't say Amin because it could say something better than that. But I will say Amin. I will manage it too. Amin. That's what he said. He was saying Amin. So he was saying that what they did, those Sadat, is they put the Bafa'ir Amamahum in front of them. Tafriqatan Bainahum wa Bainan Nisa. To show a difference between them and women, because it is from the attitude of women, they plait their hair and put it at the back. But the scholars, when they plait their hair, they put it in front. This itself, it requires proof, because in that hadith of Muhammad, there is no proof that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put it forward or backward. So we have opportunity to put it forward or backward. But he was saying that people used to do it. That is the essence of quoting his statement. It didn't stop at him. Al-Imam Abdul Ra'uf al-Munawi, rahimahullah, he also has a Sharh al-Shama'il. He called it Hashiyatun al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. Footnotes, annotation of Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. He quoted that statement, rahimahullah, from Umar ibn Hajar al-Haytham and Afandi. So he said, Naqalahu wa aqalahu. If you go and look at Tuhfat al-Ahwazi also, and Awd al-Ma'bud, or Shams al-Haqq al-Azim al-Abadi, that's what you also see there. They quote the statement that it's from Islam. If someone who does it, you can say it's not Sunnah. It's Sunnah, the Prophet did it, alayhi salatu. In fact, Al-Imam Abdurrahman Bakuri in Tuhfat al-Ahwazi, because Al-Imam al-Bukhari, let's say this, because when you quote this hadith to somebody, he can say something. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, Imam al-Tirmidhi said, he asked Al-Imam al-Bukhari, you know, he said, ma ra'aytu mislahu. Yeah, Imam al-Tirmidhi said, he never saw any human being that's like Al-Imam al-Bukhari. So anytime he had any problem on the matter of hadith, he asked him. Whether in his book, whether in Sunan al-Jami al-Sahih, in his al-Jami, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, you see, he was always quoting in his Ilal. You see, he was always quoting Ilal al-Kabir. He was always quoting Al-Imam al-Bukhari. The same thing in Ilal al-Kabir. They said that it had me a page, you know, Sa'altu Muhammad ibn Ismail. Sa'altu Muhammad ibn Ismail. Sa'altu. I was asking Muhammad ibn Ismail, referring to who? Imam al-Bukhari. He said he asked Imam al-Bukhari about this hadith. That Imam al-Bukhari said, Ma ra'aytu lija'li, because this hadith is the hadith of Mujahid ibn Jabr. Mujahid ibn Jabr was the companion of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Mujahid ibn Jabr radiallahu anhu said that he learned the tafsir from Ibn Abbas about 4 times. He read every ayah to him and he will ask him what every ayah meant. Mujahid. And he also took from many others amongst the companions, like Abdullah ibn Umar, like Anas ibn Malik, like Al-Bara ibn Azib, like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So he used any in the times. And Ummu Hani radiallahu anha died in the 50 years after Hijrah, 50 AH. That was when she died. At that time, Mujahid was already in existence. So Imam al-Tirmidhi says, rahmahullah, that he asked Imam al-Bukhari about this hadith, and he says, Ma ra'aytu lahu sama' an Ummi Hani. I don't think that Mujahid heard a hadith from Ummu Hani. So the scholars are saying that, nah, that statement by Imam al-Bukhari is not sufficient to say that this hadith is munqati', because there is, even if we cannot have the dalil al-tariq al-liqa, that there is evidence that there was an actual link between Mujahid ibn Jabr and Ummu Hani, that the three conditions are fulfilled in that report to accept the report. The first condition is that Mujahid ibn Jabr is not known to be a mudallis, because he reported this hadith in some places with an'ana, in some places qala, qalat, and this is also from the siyag that has meanings of an'ana. So he, Mujahid ibn Jabr, is not known to be a mudallis. Sanian is also that he is a mu'asir of Ummu Hani, that is, he lived in the time of Ummu Hani, wa amkana al-liqa. And liqa is possible, because Mujahid ibn Jabr, Mujahid radiallahu rahimahullah, is also Makki. So Ummu Hani is also Makkiya. So liqa baynahuma amkana, there is the possibility of liqa, there is the non-availability of tadlis, and there is also mu'afara. So this tuhmad ala samah, according to what the scholars of hadith are upon. So that was why they did not accept that position of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari رحمه الله. He's looking, I don't think he heard. So they said, these things, I don't think he heard, cannot stand in the face of these evidences that Mujahid lived in Mecca. He died in the 50 years after Hijra. All of these while Umm Hani died 50 years after Hijra. All of these while Mujahid ibn Jabr was already a Makki. He was already somebody who was making tolerable in. He was all around with Abdullah ibn Abbas. And he was also a Makki. The farthest that ibn Abbas went was Taif. He went to Taif, unless when he went to Ghazwat. In fact, he died in Taif. Radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas. He was always following all around. He was reporting the report of Abdullah ibn Umar, who is Madani. So there is every possibility that Mujahid ibn Jabr actually heard that hadith from Umm Hani. Don't say, but she's a woman. That did not disturb them at that time. Because that will make us remember another Qadiyya. The Qadiyya of the Sama of Sufyan ibn Uyayna from the wife of Hisham ibn Ammar, Fatima bint Munzir. Because Hisham ibn Ammar was saying that Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna did not hear from his wife, Fatima bint Munzir. She was a scholar of hadith. Fatima bint Munzir. If you look at Muwatta, you see many of her narrations there, because some of those narrations, her husband Hisham ibn Urwa took it from her. And Hisham ibn Urwa is from one of the reliable scholars from whom Imam Malik took hadith, also in Medina. So Imam Hisham ibn Ammar, Hisham ibn Urwa, radiallahu anhum, will go around to say, no, Sufyan didn't hear from her. Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, I heard from her. I went to her, she reported her hadith to me. So ulama say, I'll make it muqaddamun ala nafi. The one who say, I heard it, she narrated to me, will be taken in preference for the one who say, no, it did not happen. How did this know that it happened? When you say, no, I heard her, she told me the hadith. So don't say, oh, Muhammad is a woman, how was it possible that Mujahid ibn Jabr? They were not like that at the time. Whenever they thought that there was any person they could learn from, they went to her, following the appropriate conditions to learn that hadith. There are a lot of hadiths in this category that the means took for serious, that if you hear the circumstance in which they took the hadith, you wonder how people were zealous about knowledge, and yet they were following the rules of the Sharia in the process. So don't say, oh, but Umm Hani is Imam Mujahid. If Mujahid was from the students in Mecca, and he actually was, rahimahullah, and Umm Hani was from the scholars of Mecca, she has over 200 ahadith, and she was from the scholars of Mecca, and she was actually one of them, then don't doubt the fact that Mujahid will hear hadith from her. So to say, ma ra'aytu lahu sama, is not sufficient to remove all of these evidences to say that he did not hear the hadith from her. What we are just trying to say, you know what I'm mentioning is that somebody can come and tell you that, oh, but Imam Bukhari said that. You need the appropriate response to some of these things. So, that is the evidence for that. If you see somebody plating his hair, I just tell him, but please, what are you doing? But many people who do it today do it because they follow some rascals in America. So when you talk to those people, don't start by telling them that even the prophet used to plate his hair. That's the wrong way of doing da'wah. Because he is doing it to follow one useless vagabond in America. Most of those people who are in the entertainment industry in the American subcontinent are usually vagabonds. Never do well. And those are the people these people copy. So how can you be mentioning these people as a prophet used to place his hair? You are putting on Turks in squabbles. You call the hadith in hadith. Every time that there is an incident, there is something to say, they are calling the maqam in maqam. It is not appropriate for you to start saying that even the prophet used to plait his hair when you talk about those rascals, idiots. Many of them are very useless people. They destroy the society. If you go to any public place and they are showing MTV, whenever your glance goes to TV, you feel sad about what you see there. These are idiots that people follow. There are good people in the society that they don't follow. But when they see idiots, they follow them. And from what they follow them these days is to wear their trousers below their hips. You know, people are doing something. So why did you wear the trousers? And women too do that, subhanAllah. So don't go and start saying that, and even the prophet used to plate his hair when he talked to these people. Their own sickness is far away than for you to start mentioning the shaksiyah of the Rasul alayhi salatu. for us, that is hadith number 23. The last hadith for us in our own, in this bab, is hadith number 24, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. But for the rest of us, the hadith is 28. I know 28 and the first hadith in this bab, they are the same, if you remember. That hadith said that Anna Sha'ara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ila anfasi ibnayhi. That is the hadith also, the kind of which was reported by Anas ibn Malik in hadith 23. So what will follow that for the rest of us is hadith 29, which is that with the hadith of Ibn Abbas. For us it's hadith 24. The Nusra of Shaykh al-Albani. He said, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yusbilu sha'ahu wa kana al-mushrikun yafrikuna ru'usahum wa kana ahlu al-kitab yusbiluna ru'usahum wa kana yuhibbu muwafaqata ahlu al-kitab فيما لم يؤمر فيه بشيء ثم فرق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأسه. It says that أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يسدل شعره وكان المشركون يفرقون رؤوسهم وكان أهل الكتاب يسدلون رؤوسهم وكان يحب موافقة أهل الكتاب فيما لم يؤمر فيه بشيء ثم فرق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رأسه. ابن عباس رضي الله عنه, you know him, he is بحر الأمة, one of the most learned human beings on the earth that terrestrial the surface of the earth. You know, he's from amongst those who came to Africa for Gazwa, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Umar, they all came to Africa. But he returned to Hijaz after the Gazwa, I think during the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib. But he came in the time of Uthman ibn Affan, he was from amongst those who came to Ifriqiya. He returned to Hijaz. He died in Taif. He died blind. Ibn Abbas. Yeah. And he was happy. He said, this is glad tidings from my Lord that he put me into Al-Jannah. He said, because Allah says that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah said, I think it's hadith Qudsi, that anyone who is to the love that I take, I'll replace, and he is patient, I'll replace with Al-Jannah. He's to the love that his two eyes. And it happened when he was old. He said, so this is information. Notice that Jannah is for you, so I'll be patient to get the Jannah. Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنه. So he's the one who reported this hadith. He said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يسبل شعره. The Prophet used to make his dal of his sharp, that is, he used to comb it, he used to make it flow, put it all. He used to maintain what we refer to at the beginning as what? As-sabuta. So he make it flow. He said, وَكَانَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ يَفْرِقُونَ رُؤُوسَهُمْ. But the mushrikun, the idol worshippers, or the idolaters, they used to make fork of their hair. That is, they used to put a part, separate a part to one journey, to one part, and another part like to another part. So at the middle you have like a slit of the hair there. So the mushrikun used to do so. وَكَانَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ يُسْدِلُونَ رُؤُوسَهُمْ. But the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they used to make isdal, that is, come all together to flow in one single unit. وَكَانَ يُحِبُّ مُوَافَقَةَ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام loved to comply with what the people of the book are upon. فِيمَا لَمْ يُؤْمَرْ فِيهِ بِشَيْءٍ. In the matters that he had not been given any order by his Lord. If he had not been told, do this, don't do that, He will show me what the people of the book were upon. And you know, that is because the people of the book had remnants of divine message. So it means mala yudraku kulluhu la yudraku jumluhu or kulluhu kaf mala yudraku kulluhu bi kafin la yudraku kulluhu bi kafin. Sheikh Al-Albani used to say that. Something that you can't get all of it. Even the small one that you need, if you can find it, make use of it. So yes, يُحَرِّفُونَ لِكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَاضِئِهِ وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. They are still upon something of divine message. That's why of course they are called Ahlul Kitab. So the Prophet used to, in regards to things, or with regards to things that Allah had not ordered him in a particular manner, he took to what they were upon. عليه الصلاة والسلام. ثم فرق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأسه. Then he opened his hairs as the mushrikun used to do. Some of the scholars say that he was told to do so. Some say no. The matter became clear to him that it was one regarding which he could take a decision. Some say no. Later in his life, he preferred to make mukhalafat. The mukhalafa of Ayyun Ahlul Kitab themselves. So sometimes he left it and sometimes he opened it. So as not to be like any of the groups. These people used to open Mushaykun. The other people used to close the hair. So later, initially he was following the people of the book. Then later he decided he was ordered to always make mukhalafa of it. And he told us to also make mukhalafa of Ahlul Kitab. So making mukhalafa of Ahlul Kitab and sustaining the mukhalafa of Mushrikun is to keep it covered sometimes and to leave it open sometimes. Sometimes leave it covered, comb it all as a single unit, and sometimes to open it. So it's not upon what the Mushrikun were upon. And it's not also upon what Ahlul Kitab were upon. So the hadith reads that anna rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yusbilu sha'rahu wa kana al-mushrikun yafrikuna ru'usahum wa kana ahlul kitab yusbiluna ru'usahum wa kana yushibbu muwafaqata ahlul kitab fima lam yu'mar fihi thumma farraqa rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'sahum. There are a lot of benefits in this hadith. But there is a whole matter in this hadith. Shari'atu man qablana. This hadith is one of the evidences to discuss that matter. But we will not discuss it. We leave it for, we hope we find the issue in another hadith. Inshallah. So this is the last hadith for us. Those of us who are reading the Mukhtasar. But for the rest of us, the next hadith is the same hadith of Ummu Hanif. And that is the last hadith in the Bab. And I think the discussion on the hadith of Ummu Hanif is sufficient, inshallah, to drive home the fact that that hadith contains. That from what he also did, alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes was also to do what? To plait his hair. He also did another thing. But that one is only regarding manasik. He shaved the hair, everything on the hair. That only, he did that only at Hajj. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam shaved his hair. Qawramuluku at Hajj. So even when it is basically permissible to shave the hair. Yes, some of the scholars say that this is from the Simat of the Khawarij. Imam al-Hafiz al-Muhajjar mentioned that in Kitab al-Iman, the last hadith, in Kitab al-Iman in his shelf of Sahih Bukhari. But some of us, including him, also say that the hadith here in the Prophet, the hadith of Ja'far, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw some young boys that shaved part of the hairs and left part of the hairs, he ordered them alayhi salatu wasalam that they could either leave all of the hairs or shave all of the hairs. Imam Abdul Rahman al-Baqir says this is evidence that a person could shave all of the hair because the Prophet gives them that alternative. So that keep all of the hair or shave all of the hair. Allahu Alam. So we'll stop here, inshallah. I hope there'll be one or two questions.
Depends on the nature of the situation. Meaning, assuming now, if there is in a near specific period of time,
last time, some females used to pluck their hair. In the time of the Prophet, it's questioned that if in our country, women are most known to pluck their hair. So men should not pluck their hair. So, at that time, some women used to pluck their hair. You may ask me for evidence. The hadith of Ruqayyah, when she was being given her funeral bath, the Prophet said that her hair should be loosened, and after the death, it was put together, it was lifted again. And there are other ahadiths that showed that women at that time used to clip the hair. The hadith of Umm Salama regarding her ghusl baths and other female companions, that when they took their baths, one was saying that their heads were plaited. So that time too, women used to clip their hair. The simple fact that is that plaiting the hair is not from the issue of a sharp book. Sheikh Yahya al-Hajuri, he has a book, Tahzir al-Nubala, Sima Yatashabahu Bihi Rijal bin Nisa. This is the title. He compiled about 40-something issues wherein men copy women. I looked at it throughout. It does not contain this issue we are stating. One of the people in Jamiat al-Islamiyah wrote a book, Al-Ihkam, Fima Yakhtalifu Fihi Rijalu Liman Nisa'i Min Al-Ahkam. Issues that men and women are different in the Ahkam of Sharia. It is not also mentioned plaiting hairs. So, just leave the issue like that. So your own hair is not as long as plaiting. I mean, you can't plait it straight. It is prohibited because you'll be tying something to that hair. So I think maybe the right word is to say leave and go. Some of my brothers used to wonder where this mashallah. They say, Abuna says, yes, I still believe that's Korea. The hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that na'a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an tasil al mar'ati sha'raha bi shay'in, that a woman, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, zajara Nabi al mar'a an tasil sha'raha bi shay'in. The Prophet warned, zajru is more severe than na'a. That he prohibited, he warned women not to tie anything to their hair. So some of the scholars say, not to tie anything means anything. So don't tie anything, as long as it is tying, don't tie anything to the hair. Be shay in. So people like Al-Imam Malik are also on that. If you read Nail al-Awtar, it's the most extensive discussion I have seen on this hadith. You see it in Kitab al-Nikah, when he was talking about how a woman should dress. It's this hadith of Namifat, Wafilat al-Mustawfilat. When he was talking about Wafilat, he brought this hadith in his shaf, Imam al-Shawqan. And he discussed it at length. He mentioned other opposing Jews and the evidences that refute them. Very nice discussion, inshallah. So you can't use thread because if you hear them saying, they are not trying to say. And it will not be like the Sunnah own, because in that of the Sunnah it was four. So your own cannot go as, you can't even, it will be many. You know, they used to call something pop off. You say she plats pop off. You know what I mean, pop off? That's it, me mean you say. So now I want plats pop off. You know, they call it pop off. نعم أخي عليه الصلاة والسلام يا نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
Now,
you mentioned
that the
money,
did that do that the money or what?
He didn't get it clear. If the man had a slave, he's no slave, he can have something to do with her, he can have intercourse with her. If the man has a slave, he can not have help.
What I'm not saying is, is he going to stay for that?
What is that about her? She's his property.
So as well as he can sell
her. Yes, he can sell her. When he likes. Can you sell your shirt when you like? Can you sell your shirt? Why?
Because I'm
doing it. But you have worn it now. It has touched your body now. You have slept on it now. Perhaps blood has touched it from you now. So what's the difference? You look at the Sharia, there's no difference. You accept that the other one is a human being, this one is no, is a non-being. But our slaves are like our property. That's why our children inherit them. But how does a Muslim have a slave? They have slaves. In the time of slavery, people have slaves. They buy slaves. Last week we described the hadith of Asayyid Salman. He was bought into slavery, and he was also bought from slavery. So, a slave can be bought at the time of slavery. But now that there is no slavery, one of the ways to get slaves is if the Muslim community is ordered by the Amir to do a jihad against the non-Muslims. Do you understand? When you do a valid jihad, don't forget, underline valid, a valid jihad in the Sharia. You have slaves amongst men and women. You do a boy, you do a girl, you do anything, they are all your slaves. If you fight non-Muslims, after the war, Allah gives us victory over them. Of course, victory is early, they are caught early or quickly. So, but if we have opportunity to have ganima, from that is also slaves. You pick the slaves. So you have a right to manumit her and marry her, and her manumission, her being freed, will be her mahar. If you choose to marry her, so she will not be a slave again, she's your wife. There is that one hand, like the Prophet's marriage with Safiya bint Safiya. But you could also choose to make her remain as your slave. She's your slave, not have anything to do with her. That's why I said, Illa ma malakat ayman. Illa ala azwajihim aw ma malakat ayman. He says, Fa innahum ghayru malumin. So you can only have relations, intercourse with your wife or ma malakat yaminuka. Those whom your right hand possess. Look, it is pizza for Islam. And that was one of the reasons why Saddam was fought. Because Saddam was coming to fight the Muslims, he gave them a notice of war in Saudi Arabia. And he told them that if I fight you, I'm fighting you, that you are non-Muslims. I'm going to take your wife and your daughters. So you fight us as non-Muslims, we fight you too. Not only that, we find cooperation with any group of people that can combine with us to fight you. Even in our opinion, if you're non-Muslim. But they had the right to fight him. People say Saddam was fighting Saddam Hussein against Kuwait. It was more than what people are thinking about. I think we discussed this issue once extensively. Do you understand? So when Muslims fight non-Muslims, whether they are Mushrikeen, whether they are Ahlul Kitab, and gain victory over them and gain property, like their money, their wealth, their houses, their and all of these, in a valid jihad, their women, their children, their daughters, including males. The males become our males become our male servants. Whether they accept Islam or not, they will be following us. But the one who accepts Islam is better than the one who does not accept. Many people accept Islam like that. And David did that in the time of the companions, became the greatest scholar in the subsequent generation. those who did that became the greatest scholars in the subsequent generation. And Imam Sawus ibn Kishan, he was the Imam in his time, in his community. He's from the greatest scholars. And Ikrima al-Berberi, in his time, he was Mawla ibn Abbas. He was Imam in his time. There are many of them. One of the Umara was asking one of the A'imma, Aqad Nabi Rabah in Makkah, in Hijaz. He was Imam. He was also a fifth slave, black slave. Rahimahullah. And he's from the most learned human being. Even people like Ibn Abbas, when they ask them questions and they don't answer, they say, go and meet Atta. Atta is not a Sahaba. He's a Tabi. He's a black freed slave. He was in Makkah. So these were the leaders of men in terms of knowledge. So that's why they say, Man ta'allama sadan nas. When I think it was Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, he was asking Imam Abdul Aziz, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Mubakuri mentioned it in his Muqaddimah of Sunan Tirmidhi, Tuhfat al-Akhwa. In the Muqaddimah, when he was talking about Al-A'lam from amongst the Muhaddithun, he got this kitra. Now, one of the rulers in the time was asking Imam Zuhri, who is the scholar in Makkah? He said, Atta. Mawla. See? Who is the scholar in Yemen? He said, Tawuz. Who is the scholar in Yemen? In Dimashq. In Sham. He said, Tawuz. Who is the scholar? He was asking. Afrikiya. He said, Ikrima. All of these people have been saying, yes. He said, Man ta'allama sadana. The one who learns leads the people. The one who learns leads the people. So those people enjoyed Islam and they accepted Islam. And they became sons and daughters of Islam. So, but if a man does not choose to free the woman, it's her. Yes, he has wife and then he has all others, like Ali ibn Abi Talib. He had many of them because they were buying slaves. When they fought jihad, they captured non-Muslims as slaves to Muslims. So if they refuse to be slaves of Allah, they'll be slaves of the servants of Allah. So, and even the people who say, no, let me can agree now, say, okay, pay jizya, disgracefully. So it is Islam that will now honor them. So when somebody now accepts Islam from you, it's like you have freed him from bondage of shirk. So they still attend Mawla to you, like I think you have freed him from slavery. It's honor for us. May Allah give us the strength over time in this ummah to be able to fight a valid jihad so that we capture non-Muslims and make their fathers and mothers be our slaves and their daughters and wives as our own wives in a valid jihad. The army is very weak.
Can you go and talk to sister one-on-one or anything? You don't make it go.
Ah, inshallah. We'll make this the last question, inshallah. Can you go and meet your sister and tell her I want to marry you? Can a man tell a woman, I want to marry you face to face? People need to say that it's not permissible, but I don't know their evidence. More so, if a woman that's called a Rashida, a woman that's intelligent, that's matured. Imam Shawkani mentioned that in learning the Quran. And his evidence that he cited is the hadith of Umm Salama, radiallahu anha, that she was approached by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She received the khitbah herself. I think that is Mahal Shahid. That she received the khitbah herself. In some riwayat, he sent someone first, alayhi salam. In some riwayat, he sent someone and then he went. And that is why she was telling him about these conditions. For which she accepts to marry him. I'm thinking that I think I have found a comment from one of the scholars that here has a problem. I can't remember fully now. So, I don't know anything that's preventing that initially. That a man see a woman and say he wants to directly. Maybe we can make it enough with the hadith of Barira too. Because this case is very important. Somebody asked me one day, can a man tell a woman, I love you, I want to marry you? Love, I love you. Can a man say that to a woman? I told the brother, yes, I believe that a man can say it to a woman in a nice manner that does not become a problem to him or to her. And the evidence is this case of Barira. You know, Barira was a slave woman. And she was bought from slavery by Aisha and set free. So, and the qaida is that when a woman becomes free from slavery, her husband, who is also a slave, the marriage breaks, the marriage becomes dissolved. If a woman is a slave woman, the husband is a slave man, and the woman becomes free from slavery, she has the right to decide whether to remain in the marriage or not, because there is no equality between the man and that woman. So she has a choice to give up that and remain in the marriage, or to continue to say, no, I don't want the marriage again. So when she becomes free, or she became free, the marriage broke between them. But the man was running behind Barira in Medina. He was crying to follow Barira all around. Barira, please don't leave me. To the extent that Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad, was approached to talk to the Prophet, to talk to Barira. So I told the brother, when this man was crying about in Medina following Barira, what would you think he was telling her? I hate you. Oh, Takullah for to cut you. Wala tabutu mela wa antu muslimu. No, this is not a slave. He will be trying to come say, I like you. I like you. I will take care of you. I will. Like somebody making a campaign for an election. Even when those people are liars. You speak to yourself, the Queen. How you accept that in the Quran? So, I told the brother, in my opinion, I think somebody can say that to a woman. More so if the woman is in doubt. I don't want to marry somebody who does not like me. We can go on to start assuring that, don't worry. Now you are like, you are the apple of my nose. You are the green teeth of my nose, or my eyes. In a nice manner, inshallah. But when she accepts, then the story is different. But I think people, they start it before the woman accepts. When she now accepts, they now go full blown. They go full blown. When she's already telling them, don't worry, now you are going to marry. That's when they now start sending text messages that are wonderful. I think this one is excess. Because in the first place, there's no need for it. What there was need for was before her acceptance. Except if there's a matter that came up again. She said, but I think, I see. It's that, I know, but it's not like that. I'm still interested in you. You still say there's still haja in that. And when there's no haja for it, you don't need to start inciting the emotion of a woman. Many women became blind with this. So they don't see the need, the frailties of the woman, of the man they want to marry. But the best thing is for the awliya of a woman to search for a powerful person for her. And I'm sure this is something the community is gradually rejecting and seeing, considering as a taboo. To find a powerful person. Say, look, this man is a nice person. Marry him. Why was Umar radiallahu moving from one person to the other amongst the companions? He went to work and said, ah, he went to Smith. Why was he doing that, radiallahu anhu? Omar. You can't say you are better than Omar. And you are not, even if you say it. What was going around? What about the woman who came? The Prophet was sitting alayhi salatu wasalam in the masjid with people. The woman came in front of the Prophet. Prophet, I give myself to you, marry me. What do you think she was looking for?
Abu Huraira reported this hadith. When his daughter heard the hadith, he said, La haya ala, she said, you are khairu minki. She said, she's not shy, she's better than you. She's companion, of course. We are not companions. The Prophet looked at her, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Fata afta ara asahu. And he put his head down. One companion said that it's like the Prophet is not interested. She prophesied me, I want. So, being these matters, the best is that the men, but the issue is that the fathers and awliya themselves, only Allah knows what they are of fujur and fisk. Many parents of inside fujur, I have heard one father before saying that if his child does not get pregnant, he does not do a nikah. I tell you, I heard it in my ears. The man said, in this my house, if this girl is not pregnant, I can't marry her to you. I said, what is the marriage again? What is the meaning of marriage? If you wait that she has to be pregnant before you marry her to him, what is the meaning of marriage? Marriage is to make her halal for him. You are saying she should eat the haram first and you wash it off with urine. You should eat the feces and then look for urine or water to drink. A man needs water to drink. He said, please give me water. I said, no, eat shit first. Why eat shit? He said, okay, now take water. So please, why drink water? What will happen to that shit? It is pushing it inside. That's what the man said to us. I wasn't the one who was getting married in that So, but things are this bad. Limits are this bad. They don't care if his parents is not passed. And that's why they put their children to fitna that never ends. Women also, those girls also put themselves in that fitna. It will never end. What fitna is that? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. If a man whose deen and character is upright comes to you seeking hands of your daughter in marriage, or seeking your hand, ulama says, increase the woman herself. You girl, you young girl, sister, anything you are. A man comes to you, he is upright in his deen, and he is upright in his character. And he says, please marry me, he says, no. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, now we do who marry that man, or marry the girl to that man. He said, the companion said, Ya Rasulallah, وَكَيْفَ إِنْ وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. What if we find that the man is not, you know the story people used to give, it's a nice brother, it's a hard sinner. But one thing is that, they started saying that. The Prophet said, what we do? Marry the girl to him. He said, but what is in what? He said, three times, in the third time, he said, إِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا تَكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. If you don't marry this girl to him, expect fitna, or you girl, if you don't accept fitna, I tell you. If you go to the history of Islam, I can give you many examples of women who were approached by Tawas people. They refused, I told the fitna to them. I won't mention some people's name because of their, and maybe another time, inshallah. But many people, even in our day to day, at least, we've been in this stage now for about 15 years. People have married who go and do nikah with brothers 15 years ago, at least. We have seen what has happened to people, to sisters, who thought that they were super women. Yeah. And men who thought that their daughters are angels. I know somebody who did not marry until she was 33 years old. Since she was 25, 8 years. 8 years she did not marry. The father told the brother that, I know that you are a proud person. And I know that my daughter loves you, but I will not marry her to you. The brother said, why, sir? Please marry her to you. I was there. I said, the brother, okay, I wish you be there too. Abu Hamza. He was there that day. So, why did the guy say, no, I will not. That man has had a wife before. My daughter can be a second wife. The brother said to him, Baba, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya ta'ku yuntur. You are looking for trouble. He said it in a nice manner because I was there. But the man said, you are threatening me. He said, no, sir. When it happened, 8 years. In the 6th year, the sister sent me an email. In my normal office today, I say, your father called. She said, I know that it is that treatment that I am in now. This sister was a very sister. She removed her veil. If you see her before the marriage, there are some of the brothers here who know this issue. If you see her before the marriage, you will say Subhanallah to her. Before she finally just married at age 33. The treatment doesn't mean that it has ended. I tell you, there are many. I can give you at least 10 examples from those who are living today, and I can give you at least 15 examples from those who are gone past. Many women. That's all right. I was saying I didn't want to say something about Umu Hani. But let me still leave it still another time because of her personality, Rabbi Allah. Let's talk here, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك The Prophet proposed to her, she refused.